Narayanam namaskritya naram cheva narottamam devim saraswatim vyasam tato jayam udirayat. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Chapter entitled Devahuti's Lamentation, text number 57. Saham Bhagavato Nunam.
Saham Bhagavato Nunam.
Vanchita Maya Dridam.
Vanchita Maya Dridam.
Yatvam Vimuktidam Prapya.
Yatvam Vimuktidam Prapya.
Namo Mukshaya Bandhana.
Namo Mukshaya
Bandhana. Saham Bhagavato Nunam.
Saham Bhagavato Nunam.
Vanchita Mayaya Duritam.
Vanchita Mayaya Duritam.
Yatvam Vimuktidam Prapya.
Yatvam Vimuktidam Prapya.
Namo Mukshaya Bandhana.
Namo Mukshaya. Is to take birth in a suitable family where there is cultivation of spiritual knowledge. This is rarely obtained. The greatest opportunity is to have the association of a saintly person. Devahuti was conscious that she was born as the daughter of an emperor. She was sufficiently educated and cultured, and at last she got Kadama Muni, a saintly person, and a great yogi as her husband. Still, if she did not get liberation from the entanglement of material energy, then certainly she would be cheated by the insurmountable illusory energy. Actually, the illusory material energy is cheating everyone. People do not know what they are doing when they worship the material energy in the form of goddess Kali or Durga for material boons. They ask, Mother, give me great riches, give me a good wife, give me fame, give me victory. But such devotees of goddess Maya or Durga do not know that they have been cheated by that goddess. Material achievement is actually no achievement because, as soon as one is illusioned by the material gifts, he becomes more and more entangled, and there is no question of liberation. One should be intelligent enough to know how to utilize material assets for the purpose of spiritual realization. That is called Karma Yoga or Jnana Yoga. Whatever we have, we should use as service to the Supreme Person. It is advised in Bhagavad Gita, Swa Kamana Tam Abhyarchya. One should try to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead by one's assets. There are many forms of service to the Supreme Lord, and anyone can render service unto Him according to the best of his ability. Om Gyan Tivadandasya Ginanjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Manupishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamam Dati Swapadantikam Pancha Kalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhi Evacha Petitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Radha Srivasa Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is a powerful part of the Bhagavatam, and this particular chapter is called Devahuti's Lamentation. So why is she lamenting? What is there to lament about in spiritual life? Ends up if you are happy in Krishna consciousness. One, two, three. Okay, a few of you are happy, that's a good sign. You're meant to be happy. If you're not happy, that means there's something wrong with the application of the process of Krishna consciousness. Because if you are not happy, then it means that you're not applying the process properly. If you apply the process properly, what will be the natural result? Natural result is you will feel blissful in Krishna consciousness. That is natural. Because Krishna is blissful. So if you are associating with Krishna properly, correctly, unoffensively, then you will also feel blissful. That is natural. Not artificial bliss. Anyone can be artificially blissful, that's easy. Anyone can be a mad. Prabhupada said two people are happy in this world. Crazy person and a pure devotee. So anyone can be, I'm happy. But that's not the actual transcendental situation. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Na Sochiti Na Kanchi. That is the spiritual platform which we're aiming for. So, why would Devahuti be lamenting? Why would she not be happy? She's in the Bhagavatam. She's in the pages of the Bhagavatam. So, why would you put someone unhappy in the Bhagavatam? Doesn't make sense, does it? Why is she lamenting? What is there to lament about? Because she didn't take advantage of the association of her husband. And her husband was a pure devotee. And her father was a pure devotee. And then she became absorbed, not absorbed, but she became somewhat distracted by Maya. So now she's lamenting. Look, I could have had so much association with my husband, who is a Muni. Kadama Muni is a great sage, famous in the universe. Such a powerful devotee. And my father is Swayambhuva Manu. He's one of the 12 Mahajanas. And still, I'm absorbed in family life, having children and increasing the population. So, now she's lamenting. Krishna gave me an opportunity to make advancement in Krishna consciousness, and I'm not taking advantage of the opportunity. So that's worth lamenting for. And that's why her lamentation is spiritual, it is not material. You don't hear her saying, oh, I wish I had you know, another chariot or you know, more material facility. She's saying that I wish I had the opportunity to take advantage of associating with these saintly people. So that is her lamentation. So she's teaching us. And Prabhupada says, actually, if you want to make advancement in Krishna consciousness, hands up if you want to make advancement. And Prabhupada said, then you have to develop anxiety. Prabhupada said, go to the place where they are selling Krishna anxiety and buy as much as you can. So where are they selling Krishna anxiety? Okay. 197 Dane Street, Albert Park. Just knock on the door and you'll be in anxiety for the rest of your life. You think it's not true? I walked through that door, right? And you know why I came here? One reason, right? To be peaceful. And I walked in, and the day I walked in here there was no one. It was like midday. The temple was quieter back then. I'm not as busy as it is now. I walked in midday. There's no one around. Just the fish pond. You know, beautiful garden and fish and like yeah, beautiful birds and like that. And I thought, wow, this is what I'm looking for. Peace. And then Jagannath Balabhar Prabhu, you know, he walked past me. I was sitting there on that seat just outside here. And he was walking from paraphernalia room to deity room back and forth. You know, about 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock. So he's going back and forth, obviously doing seva for the deity. And he just looked at me every time he walked past. And then he walked in, and then he walked back out, and then he walked in about three times. And he just looked at me, he didn't say anything. And I thought, wow. I thought he's like a monk. He's like some, he's on some spiritual platform. He doesn't even speak. He's completely absorbed in transcendence. I thought, wow, that's why I want to be peaceful like him. So then I told the temple president, I said, I want to join the ashram, and he said okay, so I joined the ashram, and then I haven't been peaceful since then, all those years. Krishna robbed me, Krishna tricked me. It's just a big trick. Yeah, come here, be peaceful, no problem. There is no peace. There is no peace. You come here, and then as soon as I moved in, they said weed the garden. Okay, so we the garden. Yeah. And I said, now we need to go crossways. And I said, what's a crossway? I don't know. So I went crossway, and then that's it. I'm lifting up the big tubs, taking them upstairs and bringing them down. I'm working all day and coming back to temple, getting up for Mangalarti. And then they said, now we want to send you on Sankirtan. And I said, what is the Sankirtan? I said, okay, out the door, get in the car, drive down the road, and get out, distribute books. And doing, and then no peace, no time for her. Yeah, and it's peaceful, but a devotee, Prabhupada points this out, Arjuna was peaceful on the battlefield. He was peaceful. Why? Because all the arrows he shot were for Krishna. And interesting, when Arjuna shot his arrows on the battlefield, how many arrows did he shoot?
Countless.
Yeah. How many people were on that battlefield? It says 640 million. So 640 million warriors, right? And the Kaurava army had, the division was 11 to 7. They had, Pandavas had 7 Akshahinis, and Kauravas had 11 Akshahinis. So their army was bigger. And it says that Arjuna killed 2/3 of the army himself. He was shooting so many arrows, he killed 2/3. So that's, you know, if you do the maths. You know, so he's killed about 300 million people or something. So I don't know what the figure is. But not one arrow missed its target. There's no wasted arrows. Every single arrow, boom, 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 boom. Why? Because he was doing it for Krishna. And when you do something for Krishna, you make sure you do it to the best of your ability. He was fully concentrated. Ekeha kuru nandana vyavasa yamika buddhi, just perfectly focused on one point. You know the story when he was getting trained by Drona,
Sojourner had 100 boys from Duryodhana and his brothers, 99 brothers, and then 5 Pandavas, and there was others as well, other students. So then he said to Yudhisthira, he said, pick up your bow. So Yudhisthira picked up his bow, and he said, you see that bird? It wasn't a real bird, a mechanical bird, up in the tree. So you see the bird in the tree? He said, yeah. So he said, aim at the bird. So he aimed at the bird. He said, what do you see? He said, I see the bird, I see you, I see my brothers. He said, put down the bow. So he put down the bow. And then he said, Duryodhana, pick up the bow. It's the same thing. What do you see? I said, bird, I see you, put down the bow. Right? So he went through everyone. Right? More than 100 boys. Everyone put down the bow. And then one boy was left. He said, Arjuna. He said, pick up the bow. Okay. He goes, what do you see? He said, I see the bird. He said, what else do you see? He said, I don't see anything else, just the bird. He said, what do you see about the bird? He said, I just see the eye. He said, release your arrow. Straight into the bird. And the bird fell to the ground. Because ekeha kuru nandana, he didn't see anything else. Because he's serving Krishna. That's his service to Krishna, was to be kshatriya. That's his seva, given by guru on behalf of Krishna. You are kshatriya. And so he's perfect kshatriya. Yeah, even at night times, there's a Mahabharat. Dronacharya said to his servant, because they were living up in the Himalaya. They were training up there because it's cool up there. So that's where they did the training, up there in the foothills of the Himalaya. So then Dronacharya, he gave the instruction because all the boys were training all day. And then, you know, there were devotees there to cook. They were cooking for the army. So the Dronacharya said, don't feed him at night. Only let him have prasadam during the day. No prasadam for him when the sun goes down. Arjuna said, don't feed him after dark. So one day, Arjuna was just training all day. And he just forgot, because he's so absorbed in just, you know, when boys are playing, when they play, they just forget everything. So he went all day just shooting arrows, right, just training. And then it was dark. So he came to the kitchen and said, give me prasadam. And they didn't know what to do, so they gave him prasad. So he took it to his tent, and he had one candle, and he was taking prasad. And then the candle blew out in the wind. So then he had to eat the prasad in the dark. And then he thought to himself, and that's why Jorana said, don't let him eat in the dark, because he thought to himself, well, if I can eat in the dark, then I can train in the dark. So at night time, he starts shooting arrows. He wouldn't even go to sleep. That's why his name is Gudakesh. Gudakesh means... He didn't even sleep so much, just wanted to train and just fire the arrows. Then he wouldn't even sleep at night. He'd just go out, keep shooting. Everyone else is trying to sleep, and you hear Arjuna in the forest. Toom, 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 toom. And Dronacharya said, hey, just relax. Take rest. But he was so fixed in his service for Krishna. It had to be perfect. So a devotee, whenever he does his service, he wants to do it perfectly for Krishna. He doesn't want to waste time. He doesn't want to waste energy. So when you join ISKCON, you know, this peace is gone. Okay, we don't have peace. But the peace is in the seva. That's the point. Prabhupada said Arjuna was peaceful on the battlefield. Because every arrow was fired for Krishna. So he was peaceful. He was blissful. And he was happy. If I die now, what's the problem? I die for Krishna. So what's the problem? That's the best feeling. Like Prabhupada was in America in 76, and Prabhupada was not well. His health was deteriorating because he was pushing himself too much. And his body was 80 years old. But Prabhupada was pushing himself. So then Prabhupada, just come and sit over here with the boys. So then Prabhupada, he was in the elevator, and he was going down the elevator in New York. We used to have that skyscraper, a 13-story skyscraper. ISKCON had a skyscraper building in Manhattan. So Prabhupada was going down the elevator, about to go to another place to preach. And Prabhupada was sick. And all the devotees were worried. He just keeps pushing himself like that. So that all the devotees had a meeting, the leaders, they had a meeting before Prabhupada got in the elevator to leave. And they said, we'll ask him not to go, just to rest. He can go to Gita Nagari, to the farm, and he can just take some rest. So then Prabhupada was on the way down the elevator, and then one of the devotees said, Prabhupada, he said, why don't you just rest? We'll go to Gita Nagari. We'll take you there. You can just 2 weeks, do nothing. Just rest like that, and we'll take care of everything. Then Prabhupada looked at everyone. And Prabhupada said, I want the benediction to die fighting on the battlefield like Arjuna for Krishna. And then the doors opened, and Prabhupada walked out, got in the car, and went to his next place to preach. So that was Prabhupada. He had the same mood as Arjuna. Just, I'm doing everything for Krishna. And Prabhupada was peaceful. He was blissful. So that's how we become peaceful as devotees. When you're fully absorbed in Krishna's service, you will be peaceful. You'll be happy. Even though your material body is exhausted. Do you ever feel exhausted sometimes?
Yeah.
The new devotee, straight away. Okay, welcome to ISKCON. So this is it, you become exhausted. Sometimes I'm totally exhausted, so much service to do, you just get like exhausted. But when you put your head on the pillow at night, then you think, I did all of that for Krishna, for Guru and Krishna. And then you're happy, you're peaceful. Actually, the greatest benediction for the devotee is that we can die for Krishna on the battlefield. I told you that story, I've told it a few times. We were in Vrindavan a few years ago, and the government in Kazakhstan, which is the south of Russia, just above Afghanistan, and Kazakhstan is the southernmost part of Russia. So the government, they attacked our temple, and with bulldozers, they came in and they pushed down some of the buildings. We had like a little farm there, and it was snowing. So they came in and pushed it down. So, you know, the government were attacking ISKCON. So we were in Vrindavan, we were on a retreat with Burujan Prabhu and Satchidananda Swami. And then in the morning, Satchidananda Swami says, we're getting on the bus, we're all going to Delhi. Because we're going to protest. And we're going to march to the Kazakhstan embassy in Delhi. And we're going to protest. Stop attacking our temple in Kazakhstan. So we're okay. So we're on a retreat, holy name retreat, just chanting every day 64 rounds. But then Maharaj said, okay, now we're getting back on the battlefield. So we're okay. So we get on the bus, we all drive down to Delhi. Get to Delhi, and we didn't even get prasadam, because we got there a little bit late, and the prasadam was all finished. You know, there's about 1,000 devotees there. Came from all over Delhi and everywhere. We came from Vrindavan. So then they said, okay, now we're going to march. So we start marching down the road. So they're chanting in Hindi. Is anyone here from India? I fear you. So you know in India when they do the protest? So they all go down the road. One guy's gone. In Hindi, he goes, da-da-da-da-da. And everyone goes, ta-ta. And he goes, da-ba-da-da-da. And someone goes, ta-ta. So I don't know what they're saying. And I was going down the road, and someone was on the way going, da-ba-da-da-da. And everyone was going, ta-ta. Like that. So I was just joining in. I didn't even know what we're saying. But yeah, I was going, ta-ta.
I was there in the rally.
You were in the rally? Yeah, like that. We're brothers. What were they saying?
I don't remember what they were saying. Stop this.
Stop this attack.
Or something on the road, but they were peaceful.
Peaceful? Must have been a different rally tomorrow.
No, message was stop this atrocity.
Yeah, stop this. Yeah, stop this atrocity. Everyone got down. So everyone was getting very worked up. Right? So we're all marching down the road, and all the devotees are sung like it, really, like, cha-cha, like, angry. It says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, when all the devotees, Lord Chaitanya marched all the devotees to the Chankazi's house. It says when they got to the house, they started ripping down the fence and smashing everything. And Lord Chaitanya said, hey, hey, shanti, shanti, everyone just calm down. But they were ready, because you get worked up. So we were getting worked up. Right? And the feeling was coming. And it's a good feeling. Like, okay, let's do it. You know, these guys are fighting ISKCON. Okay, now, watch what's going on. We're going to rip apart this Kazakhstan embassy. And the feeling was there. Like, you could feel in the crowd, the boys are really... Okay, and it was a very good feeling. So then we got down to the embassy itself, and then they had all the paramilitary, the Indian paramilitary, the Gurkhas, like the top guys. I don't know what they call them, but you know. So they were sitting there with like submachine guns, and they were just laying on the fence. You know, and they do this thing every day. Every day in Delhi, there's some protest, so they're just like sitting there with the guns, you know, and they're just talking to each other, not even that worried. And then, you know, we're all worked up. We're thinking, like, and I was thinking to myself, okay, because some of the boys are really getting worked up. I think, okay, they're going to charge. People are going to start getting shot. I'm probably going to die right here. But I had the feeling, like, yeah, I'll die for Krishna. You have that feeling. And that's the best feeling, you know, I'll die for Krishna. And that was actually the feeling we were getting. It was a good feeling. So then we got there, and everyone's getting worked up, and they're starting, people starting to push, and all of a sudden getting like that. And then someone came out and said, hey, everyone got to read the moment, hey, Shanti, Shanti, everybody, sit down, sit down. So somehow everyone calmed down, and we all sat down. It was boring from that moment on. Yeah, I would have liked to just go on and just smash it, but anyway. So that was the feeling. So Prabhupada, he says that that is the attitude of the devotee. The devotee wants to die for Krishna. And that's the most peaceful feeling. And actually, I felt at that time, I felt, well, if I die right now, no problem. Because I've done it for Krishna. Krishna's going to look after me. He'll take me somewhere where it's going to be superior. I'll go closer to him. So that is the feeling of the devotee. He wants to do like that. So that is the mood that devotees have to develop. So that is peace. Peace is when you have that attitude. I'll give everything to Krishna. Bhaktaram Jagatapasam. That everything is just for Krishna. Not that we're thinking that peace means I can just sit down, don't do much. You know, that's sometimes the ashrams get like that in India. I stayed in Vrindavan one time in the guest house, the Krishna Balaram guest house. So we're up there, we're doing the VIHE. Every day we're coming down and doing kirtan and class and going to lectures. And so fully using our time in Krishna service. But then, because I was staying up in the third story, I think it was, I was looking down, there was an ashram across the road. And I saw at lunchtime, all the sadhus would come, they'd sit on the roof in the sun, and they'd feed them chapatis. And I'd see that how many chapatis they'd eat. Like, you know, dozens, like, just eating chapati. Then after lunch, everyone just rest, go to sleep. And then, I'd come back a couple of hours later, and everyone's still on the roof with blankets on them, in the sun, just sleeping. That's not the mood in ISKCON. The mood in ISKCON is that we don't just, eat chapatis and sleep. That's some of the ashrams, that's what they do, that's their sadhana. But our sadhana is a little bit different. Prabhupada said we have an ISKCON sandwich. Do you like sandwich? ISKCON sandwich means in the morning, right? Morning program, hearing and chanting. During the day, you fill it up with service to Krishna, and at the time, at the evening, at the end of the day, more hearing and chanting about Krishna. That's the ISKCON sandwich. And Prabhupada said that is our program. We dedicate ourselves fully to serving Krishna, fully. So there's not a lot of time for Maya. So Devahuti, in this chapter, and she's lamenting, I had the opportunity to associate with a pure devotee. I had the opportunity to associate with an advanced devotee, I didn't take advantage. That is the greatest lamentation. You get the opportunity to associate with advanced Vaishnava and you don't take the opportunity. So Prabhupada said that should be our anxiety. Prabhupada said go to the place where there's some Krishna anxiety, you buy as much as you can. So devotee, we should feel anxious. I've got an opportunity to associate with advanced devotee, I didn't take it, that's just foolish. I remember in 2000, then my Guru Maharaj left this world 2002. So in 2000 I was in Mayapur, I was chanting at Prabhupada's Samadhi, and I was meditating that I want to understand Prabhupada. I want to understand Prabhupada's mood. So I was chanting my japa in Prabhupada's Samadhi every morning. And while I was chanting, I was just meditating, I want to understand Prabhupada's mood. And then Prabhupada kind of gave me like an indication, revealed in my heart. And he said, if you want to understand my mood, then associate with the people who associated with me. And then you will understand my mood. So then I thought to myself, who associated with Prabhupada a lot? My Guru Maharaj. And he was with Prabhupada like constantly. So then I thought to myself, from now on, I'll get as much association as I can with my Guru Maharaj. So then one year later, I wrote to him. He was living in Oxford at that time. He was studying in university. So then I wrote to him and I said, I want to come and spend some time with you. He said, okay, come. So I went over there, flew over there, 27 hours from Melbourne to London, and then went to Oxford. Right? And then I got there. And 3 days, I was just living in the house with Tamal Krishna Maharaj. Yeah, I was having prasadam with him every day. I was his disciple. I wanted to serve him. He said, no, you sit down. We took prasadam together. Right? He was speaking to me. He let me chant my japa with him. Right? And he was giving me instructions. So much association. And then 6 months later, he left this world. So it's my last opportunity to get association. So that should be the attitude. That's what I always say to the devotees, because my Guru Maharaj is not on the planet anymore. You take, now while you have the opportunity, you take every opportunity you have to associate with your Guru. And that's what Tamal Krishna Maharaj used to do with Prabhupada. When Prabhupada was in America back in the 70s, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj was in charge of the Radha Damodar bus party. So Prabhupada would fly from Los Angeles to another city. So it's like, you know, a 1 hour flight or something like that. But if you drove, it was about 12 hours. So Prabhupada, they go to the airport, see Prabhupada off. Prabhupada would get on the plane. And then they'd get in the bus and drive all night, 12 hours. And next morning when Prabhupada gave class, they were there to listen to Prabhupada's class. Because they were enthusiastic to get as much association as they can with the pure devotee. So that should be our attitude. But getting association with the pure devotee means you have to be doing something practical. You should not be sentimental about associating with the pure devotee. Just like you see that picture up there of Prabhupada on the wall, that's the famous picture that we always worship. Prabhupada sitting. Where is that picture taken? Where is that picture? Where is Prabhupada? Bhaktivedanta Mahārāja, yeah, Prabhupāda sitting on the grass. There's a video, you see the video, and Prabhupāda's on the grass. It's Prabhupāda go and sit there every afternoon, just sit there on the grass and speak to some devotees. So Prabhupāda's sitting there, just like that, and a few devotees were sitting around. He had Shama Sundari, his personal servant, and a few devotees. They were allowed to come and sit with Prabhupāda. So some devotees, they were English devotees, book distributors, so they've been out distributing books, they came back. It was probably about, you know, 4 o'clock in the afternoon or 5 o'clock, Prabhupada just sitting on the grass, a few devotees there. And they came back and they saw Prabhupada sitting on the grass. They drove the park in the car park, and said, Prabhupada's on the grass. So they came over and they offered their obeisances and they sat, you know, probably about 12 feet from Prabhupada and just sat there listening, you know, what's Prabhupada saying? Prabhupada just talking to them, he didn't look at them, just talking to some devotees. And after about 10 minutes, Prabhupada looked to Shama Sundara, his servant, and he said, have they got any service? Didn't even look at them. He said, have they got any service? Like that. And then they understood Prabhupada's mood. So they offered their obeisances and went off to find some service. Prabhupada didn't want people just sitting around. You have to do something practical. If you're going to be with the Guru, do something practical. Right? What is the most important service that we can render to the Guru? Right? Is to hear the Bhagavatam from the Guru. That's the first service. We should all come. If the Guru is giving class, you be there. I remember one time my Guru Maharaj came to Melbourne and we were new devotees. I was a new devotee. So myself and two of my godbrothers, we wanted to serve our Guru Maharaj so sincerely. So we, while he was giving class, we were all in the kitchen cutting fruit for his breakfast and squeezing orange juice and, you know, making everything so nice. So then after class, he walked in the dining room. We had everything ready, you know, all the fruit, all the everything. Just keep the flowers, don't worry. No, probably okay. So he had the fruit, everything was ready. Right? Everything was paka. Just give them the flowers, he was so distracted. Otherwise I can't concentrate. Okay. Every morning class of flower lila. So then we had everything set up nicely. All the fruit, toast, orange, everything was there. And he walked in and he said, where were you? He was in a very angry, he was upset. He said, where were you? Looked at three of us. And my older senior godbrother, Priyavrata Prabhu, he looked at him because he was the more senior one. So he got more intensity than we got. He said, where were you? And he said, oh, we were making, he said, it took three of you to cut a couple of pieces of fruit and squeeze on, because, you know, we thought, oh, we're doing it for our guru, you know, squeeze every bit of orange juice, you know, perfectly. And he said, it takes one person half an hour to do that. You should have been in class. He said, you know, all year you wait for me to come, and then I come here and you're not in the class. What's the point? He said, why should I come? And he's very upset. So we got the point. Now it's the next day we're in the class. That's the point. So you have to do the service. If the guru wants you to do the service, then you do it. The guru wants you to be there associating. You don't just hang around the guru. I remember I went on my first try, and then I flew from Melbourne to Sydney with my Guru Maharaj. He came to Melbourne, then he went to Sydney. So I flew there with him. And then during the day, you know, there's not much going on. So, you know, he's giving darshans or studying or doing whatever he's doing, preaching. And then we were just like out in the lounge room, just kind of like, you know, chanting japa and everything. And I was getting bored, to be honest. I was just, what's the point? I'm just, he's doing your service, I'm just chanting. So he came out and I said, can I go out and book distribution? He said, go. Go. Because that's service to the guru. That means more to the guru than just sitting around. And sometimes devotees, they just, you know, wherever the guru goes, they just kind of follow behind. You know, the guru takes 3 steps, they take 3 steps. The guru goes over and here, like that. Like that. Well, you see, sometimes the guru would come and there's like, you know, 5 devotees trying to serve the guru. You know, open the car door and then, like, you know, it's like, it takes one person to do all these things. We have to be practical. So the service has to have some meaning. So we have to get as much association as we can, but in a way that's actually meaningful. Not that we just sentimentally try to do the service. Do something meaningful for Prabhupada. Even in Germany, the devotees, they were distributing books for Prabhupada. And they had the Mayapur Festival. And devotees would come from all over the world for the Mayapur Festival. In about 1975, 76. And one year, the German devotees did not come. And Prabhupada said, where are the German devotees? And they said, no, they decided this year we won't come to the festival, we'll stay back in Germany and distribute books. Prabhupada said, very good. Doing something practical for the guru. But at the same time, Prabhupada was very emphatic that we go to Mayapur and Vrindavan as well. Because when the American devotees were going to Mayapur for the festival, there was 300 American devotees who were going to Mayapur. So then Rameshwara Prabhu, he was in charge of the BBT at that time. So then he said to Prabhupada, he said, we're sending 300 devotees for the Mayapur festival. That's $1,000 for each air ticket. That's $300,000. If we keep everyone back in America just to distribute books, we save $300,000 for the BBT. Prabhupada said, no, everyone should come for the festival. So the Prabhupada spent $300,000 to take everyone to the festival. So Prabhupada, we have to understand what the guru's mood is, what his order is. But do something practical for the guru. And then you'll be peaceful in Krishna consciousness. And then you won't be lamenting. We don't want to be like Devahuti, thinking, oh, I have the opportunity to associate with Kadama Muni, but I just wanted to have a kid. What was the point? Now she's lamenting, I've missed the opportunity. Now he's going to go and become a sannyasi. I've missed the opportunity. Actually, there's nothing for her, because this is just all a pastime taking place. Because after this, he leaves, and then who stays? Her son. And her son is God. Is Kapila. So there's no lamentation actually. But she's showing us the right example. So in the Bhagavatam it says, okay, Devahuti is lamenting. But this lamentation is not material, it is spiritual lamentation. So we'll stop here and I'll see if there's any questions or comments from what we discussed. Means there's no distraction. That's why we move into the ashram. I lived in the ashram for 8 years. Right? So they're the best years of your life. Because there's nothing else. There's just service to Krishna. You don't have to worry about anything. Just, you know, I never had to think, how am I going to eat? You know, where do my clothes come from? Where am I going to sleep? You just get up in the morning, grab your japa bag, right? Hare Krishna, 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 Hare. Right? Take prasad. Finish morning program, take prasad, out, distribute books, come back, take bath, right, do some study or come to Kua Aati, like that. Give class maybe, and then go take rest, and then get up and do it again. So, you're taking the anxiety for Krishna because you're in the fire. Right? So if you're not in the Brahmachari Ashram, then Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada's Guru Maharaj, said you should be a Grihastha Brahmachari. So even if you're a Grihastha, you should be living like a Brahmachari. It means every opportunity you get, you just serve Krishna. That's anxiety. Anxiety is, what can I do? What can I do? Service. It's our responsibility that this temple is successful and expands and is maintained. It is our, that's anxiety. It's our responsibility. Right. So, even Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, everyone else can leave Krishna consciousness, but you stay. So that should be our mood. Our mood is, okay, if everyone else wants to leave, that's okay, but I will stay. And if I'm the only one left here, I'll get up in the morning, I'll dress Gaudiya Tai, I'll dress Radha Ballabha, I'll dress Jagannath Balaram Subhadra, I'll bathe the Shalagram Shilas, then I'll go and cook the breakfast, and I'll come back and I'll offer everything, and I'll go to the paraphernalia room and I'll clean it all, put all the clothes away and everything, and I'll go into the kitchen, cook lunch, come back, do the offering, put them to rest, right? And then I'll take lunch, and then I'll have to wake them up, take bath, I have to wake them up again, go through and then put them to rest at night, and after about 3 days I'll leave my body. But that should be the mood of the devotee. The mood of the devotee should be anxiety. There's so much service to do. There's unlimited service to do for Krishna. Right, we're living in the city in Australia. This is the second biggest city in Australia. And I think in 5 or 10 years it will be the biggest city. It's expanding the most, this city. So I think at the moment there's about 4 million people here, I think, in Melbourne, or five, somewhere like that. It's going to be 6 million soon. It's going to be the biggest city in Australia. So there's 6 million people who know nothing about Krishna. So devotees say, I've got no service to do. Go out and start telling them about Krishna. Knock on their doors. This is what we used to do. Knock on someone's door, they open the door. Hare Krishna, I'm here. Yeah? I've heard some books, would you like to see? People buy the books. And their service to go on Harinam Sankirtan. Like on Saturday we went to Geelong, we did Harinam. Your son came. Very ecstatic. You go, hey, how many books did you distribute?
15.
Hey, this kid. Demigod, this kid. Came from the spiritual world to spread Krishna consciousness. I know where you came from. Vaikuntha, Prabhupada said, Vaikuntha Chodana. So, from Mayapur, just came from Mayapur, this kid, right? So, he's on the Harinam. We're all doing Harinam. He's off, I'm watching him, you know. He's off here, he's off there, you know, distributing books. Goes up to some guy. I was looking at the guy, some Russian guy. You're on the grass, you know. And I'm looking at the guy, I think this guy's not going to take a book. He gives him the book, and he says something like that. And then I see the guy go, okay. So, he's putting his hand in his pocket, pulls out some money, gives him $3 or something. Off, you know, and the next thing, he keeps his students like 15 books on the Harinam. How much Lakshmi did you collect?
$30.
Like, that's good, you know. That's good. So this, how much service is there to do? Yeah, he wasn't in Maya, off doing some mundane activity. He's teaching us. He's our guru, right? Teaching us how we should serve Krishna. Right? Go out, spread Krishna consciousness every town and village. Right? That's how you get the anxiety. You have to have that anxiety. How can I sleep at night when there's 6 million people within 50 kilometers of where we are right now who know nothing about Krishna? So how can I sleep at night? How can I be peaceful? You should be in anxiety. Get out there and start giving them Krishna content. Yare deke tare kaha Krishna upadesh amara akyaya guru hana tare e desh. Lord Chaitanya says, you become a guru. You say, I can't become a guru. No, Lord Chaitanya says, you become a guru. Are you going to argue with Lord Chaitanya? And you go after class, you go to Lord Chaitanya and say, I'm not going to become a guru. And he's looking at you, you become a guru. Right? Means you go out and start giving Krishna to others. Yarya, Krishna upadesh. Tell them about Krishna. Okay, is that okay? No. Any other question?
Engaging
Yeah, she's just teaching us as an example. She feels like, as a grihastha, when you're married, you have a certain amount of responsibility for the kids, you know, like that. And sometimes it is distracting, because you just want to do just service to Krishna without distraction. But you have a wife, you have children, you have to do some, you know, material activity. It's just part of the, you have to change nappies, you have to do all this stuff. So it's just part of the responsibility you have. So she's thinking like that. Okay, I'm doing that, but still I feel like I just want to give everything to Krishna. Like that. So, you know, she's doing a service. She's just teaching us. We should always feel we want to do more and do more and do more. That's okay. But she's setting an example in both ways. Her child came from the spiritual world. He was Lord Kapila. He was Supreme Lord himself. So she did the best service. She brought the Lord himself into this world. So, any other questions? Should always be desirous of getting advanced association. That's the point. Don't waste the opportunities. Take advantage. Because we see every year, if you go to Mayapur, the Samadhi Pita is growing each year. Yeah, one of our group, like Krishna Das Maharaj Swami, he passed away just in the last week. So another guru in our movement gone. And, you know, in the next 10 years, we'll see many of the gurus will pass. And then, so that's why you get as much opportunity as you can while they're here. Because it won't be very long until the next generation is coming through. You know, many of these devotees, they directly associate with Prabhupada. Once they're gone, then there's no one left who directly associated with Prabhupada. So we have to get as much association as we can with all of these personalities. Any other questions? One nice letter by Prabhupada used to be in the reception on the wall. And Prabhupada writes in the letter, he says, be happy and satisfied. And make sure you distribute some books in your class today. I like this guy. You know. I was down there, you know, we finished the Harinam, we're on the grass, we're going to take prasadam. And I called out to him and said, hey, come over here. He didn't want to come. He's very independent. And then one of the boys said, you know, come, you have to go, Prabhu is calling you. So he did somersaults like all the way across the grass just to get over to me. I really like this kid. And then when he gets there, he just like looks at me like, what do you want? It's like, I distribute the books, what do you do? Like, oh. He's easy. Okay, so there used to be a letter. It was on the wall. an exception. Now it's on that side. I don't think the letter's there anymore. Is the letter there on the wall? I don't think it's there. It used to say, be happy and satisfied. So it's one letter from Prabhupada, because one devotee had written to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, I've got so much service. You know, I've got a hair, I can hardly even finish my rounds. You know, I'm just like, sorry, I'm feeling so dead. So Prabhupada wrote back and he said, be happy and satisfied. He said, Krishna consciousness means you must not lose your enthusiasm under any circumstances. He said, I am just giving you all these big projects to engage you. But actually the goal is just to go to Mayapur and just chant Hare Krishna 24 hours a day. But because you're not qualified to do that, I give you all these services. But Prabhupada said, don't take on so much that we become unenthusiastic. So you have to keep balanced. So you have enough time to chant your rounds, but at the same time you have enough time to study Prabhupada's books, but at the same time you can do some significant service also. So it's the responsibility of the managers, the senior devotees in the temple, to make sure the devotees are not in too much anxiety. Sometimes it happens. Devotees become just too much service, too much service, too much service. It's like when we go for the catering jobs. Like it's like an emergency. We go to these rock concerts. Like for 3 or 4 days, you know, we hardly sleep. You know, just chanting around, just cooking, serving prasad, something like 15 hours a day. You know, so then at the end of that, the managers have to say to the devotees, okay, now have a couple of days off. Just recover. Get your rounds, get your sleep back to normal, get your rounds back to normal, and then keep doing your service. So sometimes we have to do emergency, we have to do extra service sometimes, but we can't live like that constantly. So Prabhupada went on the balance program. So either you balance it or get someone to balance it for you. Is that okay? Any other question? Okay. Shall I Prabhupada keep?